and gentlemen, the Sands Hotel is proud to present the star of our show, George Gobel.
Thank you very much, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm very glad to be back. I was here last night, and I will do my best to entertain you for the next few minutes with this little act that I have, such as it is. And I feel that it's only fair to tell you before I start, this is not the best act in the world. And so I don't want anybody getting all excited or anything like that. And especially tonight, if I don't do too well, I hope you'll kind of forgive me and overlook it, because I haven't been feeling very well lately. I've had this, it's not exactly a cold, but I've been working too hard lately, and I've been traveling around a lot and flying. And what they do in these airplanes nowadays, because they fly so high, is they pressurize them. So, like, say if you're flying along at 28,000 feet, like, then the airplane is pressurized for that particular altitude. See? But then, like, say if you drop down to 7,000 feet, let's say that. Then, see, the differential there in the pressurization, due to the time lag, of course, and the adiabatic rate, which sometimes enters into it, they tell me, this has a tendency, well, I think I'm pregnant. That's what it is. But you know what? You know what, I'm not really, you know, I just said that, you know. I made that up for a joke, I'm not, you know. No, don't worry about it, I'm careful. That's not what I mean, you guys, you know, come on now. See, this is why I get very nervous at these affairs, because I get out here and I start to talking, you know, and I put things in here real nice, and sometimes it comes out kind of kinky. You know, and that's not too good. But that's only because things happen to me. Now, I don't know if you've ever known somebody that things happen to, but I am one. Like, not too long ago, I was working in Reno, Nevada, and I'd worked there 3 or 4 times in the same store or club. It was a hotel, is what it was. And so there was no reason to be very nervous, but I mean, opening night, I am walking back and forth 3 hours before the show. You know, I was really nervous, and I'm wringing my hands and the whole thing, and so I figured the best thing to do was start getting ready, you know, because that'll give me something to do. So I come out of the shower, and I didn't have any clothes on, see? But, you know, that's not what made me nervous. Now, that didn't bother me at all, because I take showers like that all the time, you know. I find that it's neater that way, actually, you know, so come out of the shower, and like I say, I didn't have any clothes on, and I'm walking around the room there without any clothes on. It's my room, right? That's right. So I walk around, and I'm walking around, and then the room was kind of steamed up, and I figured if I would open a window, that would be a pretty shrewd move right there. So I go over to open this window. Now, for anybody else, they go over with 2 fingers, and they go like this, and the window goes that way. No chance for me. No way that window's going to open. I get over there, and I'm fighting that window, and it won't open, and I'm dripping wet, you know, and I get my foot up on the windowsill like this, you know, and I'm really fighting that window like that, and I do about 6 minutes right there in the window, you know. And like I say, not stitch one did I have on, really. I'm standing in the window, and I'm doing all this time, and I don't even know if I'm getting any laughs, you know, I'm just standing there. And then all of a sudden, and please don't ask me why, because I'll never be able to tell, but all of a sudden, the window just goes ka-chikunk like that, and my foot's... And my room was on the 9th floor, too. Now, the fall didn't particularly bother me. It was that walk back through the lobby... See, unfortunately, I'm one of them fellas that just cannot walk past the crap table. That's all there is to it. And incidentally, this is the first time in my life I ever walked up to a table and just got my head in. The fella says, "You're dice, sir." That quick, and I'm involved. You know, I got the dice, and I'm going pretty good. And then all of a sudden, it dawned on me where I am and what I'm doing, and I got embarrassed. I was terribly embarrassed because I didn't have any money. Oh, look, come on. Now, how am I going to have any money? I didn't have any pockets or anything. You know, I hadn't planned this particular trip, but fortunately for me, they knew me there. And they did take me at my face value, you know, and I went on the rim, as we say. That's an expression, see? And, now that's not the end of it. Now, all of a sudden, it dawns on me that I'm late for work, and I go running up to my room, and I almost missed the whole show. So you can understand that I was pretty nervous. Now, on top of everything else, I come back down, and I'm dressed, and I come running in the front door. I got kind of mixed up, and I'm walking right through the front gate there, you know, like they have here. And there's the head knocker standing there just like that. He said, "Just a moment, sir." He said, "Just a moment. Do you have a reservation?" "Of course I have a reservation." I said, "I'm Chief Crazy Horse." And I said, "I'm looking for General Custer's table." You know, that's what I said, you know. And we laughed about that for a while. Except him, of course. You know, he didn't. He had no sense of humor at all. He's one. So then I come running through the, and then all of a sudden he got some sort of a brainwave. He said, "Oh, yes, sir, a reservation, yes." He said, "Yeah, you're the party we're waiting for on table 23. I said, "No, I'm not the party we're waiting for on table 23 at all. No, 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 no." He said, "Follow me, you know." And these fellas, when they talk, they speak with a certain amount of authority, you know. All of a sudden he says, "Follow me," and we go like this, you know. You know, so there I am sitting at table 23 next to some fellow named Harvey Cragshamble. You know, a nice fellow and all that, but I just didn't feel like talking, and this Harvey did, you know, and he got me by the lapel, and he's from Twin Falls, South Dakota, in case you're interested. And business is very good in Twin Falls now. It's, he's got a good thing going for him. He's a credit undertaker up there. And as a matter of fact, he says he's the first one to introduce the layaway plan to the funeral business. But I didn't want to hear about this, and I'm trying to get away, and he's got me by the lapel now, you know. And I finally get his hand off my lapel, and now he's got me by the tie, just when I make my move, you know. So here I am all of a sudden standing out there in the dark. My tie is untied and the whole thing, and I said to him, I said, "Look what you did now." I said, "You see how you are? See what you did?" I said, "Do you know how to tie a tie like this?" He said, "Lay down." So I finally made it, you know, and I went up around the back way and through the girls' dressing room, and that wasn't the stupidest thing I ever did. In my life. That was a pretty shrewd move I made there, you know, but... But I made it, and it always seems to happen that things turn out all right. You know, I make them, but I go through all these embarrassing situations, and if I can't handle it myself, I got friends that can do it for me, you know. I'll give you a kind of a for instance. You see, I not only work, I've been on television quite a bit. Like, 1 year we did our show in living color, 2 years, actually. And then the last year, we were in glorious black and white. And I must say this, the color is the coming thing. Everybody is trying to get it better and better. Like, I know one network, for example, that spent $750,000 perfecting one new color process. Can you believe that? $750,000? And then when they got it all set, you know, now this is not the end of the expenses. Now they have to run a test, you know, so they send for all the big moguls from all over the country, you know, the presidents and the vice presidents, and their secretaries, and then they were going to run this test, and they hired some actor to do the test for him named Sweeney. Now, I happen to know this fellow, Sweeney, and he's a pretty good actor, but he didn't have too much to do. All he had to do, actually, was walk from set to set, you know, and put on different colored jackets and ties and so forth and so on. And that's all there was to it. And the test came out pretty good, except for this one thing. It made Sweeney's nose look blue. You know, now they can't be fooling around with some gizmo that's going to make people's noses look blue. You know that. So they had to scrap the whole thing. They just junked it. Now there is 750,000 good deluxe American dollars right out the window. And it could have saved it all if they'd have just known one thing. See, Sweeney really had a blue nose. Now, if I'm lying, I'm dying. Sweeney's got this blue nose. I know him good, you know, and I can even tell you how he got this blue nose. I can tell you that if I want to. The way it happened, one night, old Sweeney, he come busting into the house here. It's got to be like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, now he just sort of comes sashaying in there. You know, he's kind of giving it this treatment. Now, did you ever see him walk like that? That's pretty good. He don't want to trip over anything. Now, on top of this, not only is he sashaying around there, but he's got lipstick on his cheek and on his collar. And his wife come to the door, and she took one look at him, and she said, Sweeney, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. She said, you know, for 2 cents, I would leave you. Old Sweeney says, well, now, he says, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Tell, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. He said, there's a nickel. You can just drop the change in the mailbox. Yeah, well, this went over like a cement bicycle, too, you know, because his wife had no sense of humor at all, and she starts out after him on a dead run. You know, and old Sweeney, he moves pretty good now. He's pretty shifty, you know. He's really giving it this, now. Sashing around there, but his wife evidently knew all of the shortcuts, you know, because she trapped him. She trapped him in the bathroom is where she trapped him, see. But he run in there so quick that he slipped and he fell to his knees and he caught his nose right on the edge of the... And then his wife quick run over and slammed down the... right on his nose. And it not only turned his nose blue, but now the word church is printed backwards, right about there. But what are you going to do? You know, that's the way things go. You know. And the reason I like old Sweeney and I like to talk about him is because he is really a player and a goer. You know, he comes on like Jack the Ripper, old Sweeney does. You know, he moves real good. And the reason I like him is because when I was a kid, I figured that this is the way I was going to turn out. You know, because I used to move pretty good. You know, I don't look like a, you know, but when I was younger, now, you know, I used to say, I used to be quite a dog with the ladies, actually. You know, quite a dog. And when I say dog, I mean at that age, I had very long ears, and I used to scratch myself a lot. And I used to get after them all. I used to say, let's go, bird dog, let's go, let's get after them. I used to say, let's don't let none of them get away, because they're going to tell the others how they did it. You know, that's what I used to say. And I did. I used to move pretty good. But, of course, I shouldn't be talking like that now, and I know it. I really shouldn't, because you know that I'm married, and I know... Lord knows, I know. I just wish I had as much money as I know how married I am. That's all I got to say. Although, actually, I don't want to get the ladies mad at me. Actually, marriage, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the most wonderful and heartwarming, satisfying experience that a human being can have. Me, I've only been married for 17 years, so I haven't seen that side of it yet, you know. But Alice and I, we've been very, very fortunate. I mean, I figure we have, because after all, a lot of times people come up to you and they say, you've been married to the same girl for 17 years and living in Hollywood? How about that, you know? But things got off to a very good start. I mean, shortly after our wedding, The marriage was blessed by the arrival of a chubby little visitor with wrinkled bow legs and no teeth. My mother-in-law moved in. Happy, happy, happy day, you know. And then, of course, now we have three wonderful children. And of course, I shouldn't brag about having three children. That's not a big deal. Like, I don't hold a candle to my Uncle Chester and my Aunt Emma. I don't hold a candle to them. They have 17 children. And I don't hold a candle to them. Sometimes I think my Aunt Emma would like to hold a candle to my Uncle Chester. Because they have 17 children, you know. Got there a while there when Uncle Chester come home from work, he's afraid to say, "What's new?" But that's the way it goes. And I'm talking about all this stuff, and I wish I had some sort of a finish for all this. You know, I talk and talk, and that's the problem with an act like this. You got to have a finish. And so I think I better quit talking and do my act for you. Because my act has got a finish, actually, you know. I learned this very early about having a finish. You know, see, I do this act, and it's not so much of an act. It's a, well, you might call it a singing act that I do. You might call it a lot of things before I'm through, but that's what I call it. I call it a singing act. Figure it's my act, I'll call it whatever the hell I feel like calling it. You know, but I'm going to call it a singing act. It looks like I do some singing, you know. So I do have this song that has a warm spot in my heart because when I first started in this business, this was my finishing up number, my getaway number. And I learned very early, if you can finish your act with a song, and especially a song where the last couple of notes are real high notes, you know, high, hard ones, and you can kind of stand like this, vibrate a little bit and change colors, you know, that's going to help quite a bit right there. And if you can do that and then get the word Ireland in there, too, then you have practically got the game beat. And if you do both of them and get the word mother in there, well, you're in like a porch climber. You can't hardly miss, you know. And with an act like mine, you just don't take too many chances. So I have a song with all three of these things in there, and it's called That Old Irish Mother of Mine. And I would like to sing it for you folks tonight. And I might mention this one thing before I start. I do this song in the key of G, which is quite high. And it starts out in a 4-4 tempo. That's like a two-step. And at the chorus, it goes to a slow but very definite three-quarter time. It goes 1-2-3, 1-2, like that. And the high note in the song is an A natural, which I sing in a full voice. And I finish up on a G natural, also in a full voice. Ain't you glad you come? You know, you might not like this act, but you gotta admire my nerve, right? And I'll tell you something else. Tell you something else. You know what really sells the song is the ending. That's what sells it. The ending, the first part is all right, you know, but the ending, matter of fact, a lot of times I just sing the ending. A lot of times. Really, as a matter of fact, tonight, as long as I've explained the whole thing to you, it would be like insulting your intelligence, you know, to do the whole song. But I would like to have you hear the ending, because the ending is quite effective, really. You have no idea. That is, if I can get started near the ending. I don't know about that part. And listen, if this doesn't work out, I got to talk to the boys here. And if it doesn't work out, don't blame the orchestra. Okay, because it's my fault, and I accept the full responsibility. If I'd have known I was going to do it this way, I should have come over here between shows and rehearsed. But I couldn't make it because I was tied up. Wasn't doing anything, just laying there in the closet, tied up. But I still... I could have rehearsed this song about 4 or 5 weeks ago. You know, I had some time off. I got a lot of stuff in my book that I haven't rehearsed, really. And I had some time off. I could have flown over here in one day and rehearsed everything. Then any time I wanted to change, we'd be all set. But I couldn't make it then because my wife was out of town. And I had to stay home and tend to my knitting. That's pretty good. She said, I'm going to be gone for a couple days, and while I'm gone, I'm not going to have you running around getting in trouble. While I'm away, I'm going to give you something to knit. So she gave me a broken collarbone. Now then. If you could play me some sort of an arpeggio that would get me started, Severial bars from the end, that would be desirable, I think. And then when we get to the end, then run the whole troop through there, you know, very loud and make it sound like a big thing, all right? Let's try that one time. That was perfect, you know, that was just right. It was just enough and it wasn't overdone and it's all in good taste and I think that's commendable. I like the way you handle yourself. You got a lot of class. But what's the starting note of it? You know? It's a good thing I got perfect pitch because that piano's out of tune. Okay? Look, I didn't come up here to be made sport of. You know what? For this one, maybe if we would lower the lights a little bit, that would be effective. Sometimes that creates a mood. Look, I want the lights low enough so it makes me look sexy, but if anything comes my way, I want to see it. You know how I want the lights up there. You big, dumb nut.
Hi guys, my name is Hafsa and I'm the Public Relations Officer for the International Relations Students Association, also known as IRSA. We have a mandate to provide students from a variety of disciplines with a forum for the discussion of international issues in a casual environment. Our discussions reflect upon all areas of international interest. In addition, a host of other activities, such as diplomatic simulations, academic publications, and conferences such as UBCMUN make IRSA the most active student group on campus and one of the most recognized throughout Canada. If you would like to join the club or get in touch for more information, please call 604-822-1604 or visit our website at irsa.ca.